We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Since we ended on the teacher last week, last class, we're going to continue on the third grace. In this fivefold ministry of graces, we're going to continue with the teacher. And last class, I had given you some pointers on the teacher. So I'm just going to continue. I'm going to pick up from where we left off last class, giving you notes and giving you pointers. The teachers are the primary influence. As the primary influence in the church, have turned our attention to the law. And as teachers, as we notice, we are not in the body of Christ today in the Western culture. We're not under the apostolic government as we should, as the Bible has set it up. We know God set up his government on the shoulders of Jesus. That's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But in the Western culture, basically what has happened is, they put either the pastor in charge over as the top hierarchy or has put the teacher as the top hierarchy. In some places, they've even placed an evangelist as the top priority. But we know, based on God's government that we're studying, that we're coming into, that the government is under an apostolic government. Should apostolic be apostolic first and foremost? And so... Therefore, let me give you some pointers on the teacher. Again, the first thing I say, the teachers are the primary influence in the church. As the primary influence in the church have turned our attention to the law. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. And so because of what Jesus has provided for us, we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. Again, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll kick off with our first scripture there. And looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 13. It says that, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds was blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So again, many of us who are teaching, we're still teaching it under the law and not as under Christ Jesus, or under grace. He said, but verse 15 say, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is up on their hearts. We've taken, and based on our teaching about the soul, we find out that the heart is basically the mind and the soul. So in their minds, they're still teaching the law instead of teaching grace. And so that's what's happening in the church today. So since they are teaching the law, they're trying to get their righteousness through the law. And we know they cannot obtain righteousness through the law. They have to receive righteousness through Christ Jesus. As that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 tells us, that for he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So it's because of the teaching of the law, those supernatural signs and those supernatural wonders that should be operating in the church is not being manifested the way it should. When punishment come in the church, we're still trying to use the law to punish Christians and believers. And it should still be, it should be under grace. So again, as we get into further into the culture of honor, we're going to see where punishment should not be by the law or by the commandments, but it should be by grace. Verse 16 says, nevertheless, when it should turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. And so when we think about Christ Jesus, the veil itself should be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the Lord, the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we are children of liberty. We're going to get into that part aspect of it. But we are with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Last week I went in over in Romans and I began to read some scriptures over in Romans. I'll give you a meditation scripture in Romans 10:17. Romans over in chapter Romans chapter 1, chapter 10. I'll read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 10, and I begin at verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel," and remember that we are now the spiritual Israel, "that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but are not according to knowledge." And in the church, in the body of Christ today, that's what's happening. We have a zeal of God. Many of us who are Christians and we don't have quite understand what God is trying to reveal to us now. And they, the body of Christ love God. They don't want to sin, but they can't understand why they are sinning. And that's because they are trying, still trying to do the law. Even the children of Israel could not do the whole law. If they tried to do, if they did any, miss out any part of the law, then they was not made righteous in the sight of God. So that's what's happening in the body of Christ. They're trying to do it in their own performances. They're trying to be right through keeping commandments, trying to keep be right through their own performances. But it does not happen that way. It says, verse 2 says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have submitted themselves unto the, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So we're going about still in the church, still in the body of Christ. We are going about trying to establish our own righteousness by following the law. "For Christ," verse 4, "is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." To every, so we are, since we came into the kingdom, we know that we are believers. If we continue on through here, Romans chapter 10, it tells us how we become righteous in the sight of God. In verse 5, say, "For Moses," that's what I was explaining in 2 Corinthians, "describing the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." And so if we're going to do the law, then we should live by them. But we no longer, since we are believers, we no longer have to live by the law. It's a, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in their heart," or in their soul, in their minds. "That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved." Our salvation cometh unto you. And we got that word soteria, which means soundness of mind, which means protection, which means provisions, which means health. And all those things come under that one word. And so it says, if we confess, so whatever is confronting you in your life, you can take that principle and bring it into your life, that Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection power that God raised him from the dead. Then you shall be saved from anything that come against you in the kingdom of God. That's the supernatural way God has set it up. That's the part of those mysteries that we're going to talk about, that God, the way God set it up. It says, for the heart, man believeth, verse 10, for the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So when I drove in tonight, I saw on that in front of the fountain out there, say, Jesus is Lord. We hear we're like Christian Center, believe that Jesus is Lord. So that means he's Lord over any situation that comes up in our life. So we believe that with all our heart. We believe that with all our soul. And if we believe that, then it said we shall be saved, saved from anything that the enemy tried to put on us. So we are confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord over that situation. And then we become saved of that particular situation. Let's go to the next pointer. When we focus solely on the word, eventually what happens, we begin to fight among ourselves over the word. And when we fight over the word, that's when everybody's trying to, if you look out in the body of Christ today, there are many, many denominations. Every one of them have their own doctrine of what the word is saying to them. And so they took man's ideas and they put it into what the word of God is saying, what they think the word of God is saying. And then they come up with those various denominations. Remember what we said over in 2 Timothy 3:16. It say all scripture. Let's turn over there and look at it. Second Timothy chapter 3, and I gave you those various things. I'm not going to give them to you again tonight, but I'm just going to read the scripture itself. It says, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if it was given by inspiration of God, the same thing should happen when we get ready to interpret the scriptures. We should interpret it under the inspiration of God, or under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when we interpret it, then we can interpret it the way God wants us to interpret it, and not the way man want to interpret it. So what man does is take his own interpretation. He reads the scripture and he sees it the way he want to interpret it. And then he sets up his own doctrine. If you've been in church any length of time, since I've been a member of the body of Christ, I've been a Baptist. I've also been an AME, and each one of them have their own doctrine on how they interpret and what they say the word of God says. And most of these denominations don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. And so if we're not speaking in tongues or believing in a baptism of the Holy Ghost, then we cannot interpret the scripture, because we are not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when we try to interpret scripture. So that's why, again, we have all these various denominations in the body of Christ. So we eventually begin to fight among ourselves over the word. Again, and in order for us to do this, there are certain things that we have to do in order for us to teach the scriptures the way God set it up. Turn to 2 Timothy. Again, be over there. Turn back to chapter 2. Looking at verse 15. The word of God, the apostle Paul, he is teaching again. He's teaching his young son, Timothy. He's writing him a letter. He's telling him what he have to do in order to teach the word of God. First of all, he have to study. He have to study. He have to study. He have to know what the word of God is saying. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed. He said, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so apparently in many places, the word of God, the word of truth has been wrongly divided. And since it has been wrongly divided, then that's why, again, why we get all these various denominations. The word of God tells us in Ephesians, turn over to chapter 4, because if we're under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, if we listen to what he say, then everybody should come up with the same idea of what the scripture is saying, because the Holy Spirit, there's only one of them. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, just a couple of passages of scripture here. I just let the Bible preach itself, like my apostle say. Ephesians chapter 4. And like I say, you can think about whether this is happening or whether you see this or not. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so again, it tells us there's only one. And so we all should have the same doctrine, same principle, same along our teaching on the same line, if we're teaching under the auspices of the Holy Spirit and teaching the way he want us to do it. Teaching under the foundation that Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Teaching under the auspices that the government is up on his shoulder and he's the head of the government. He's the chief cornerstone. And then what happened is the apostles come along and they built up on this foundation what Jesus himself had built. That's why we can go to. And then he brought us in. We are citizens, according to Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. We are citizens of this kingdom. Again, and it says it's built up on the foundation. There's a foundation that's here, like this building here. It's built up on the foundation. Got concrete, got a solid foundation upon it. But even if we'd have had a solid foundation and we had come along and did shabby structures around the building, this building would not stand. It would fall. So, and that's what basically is happening to the body of Christ. We're not seeing supernatural manifestations as God has set it up. So in order for it to happen, we have to be under the instruction of the Holy Spirit, just as Paul was when he was taught by Jesus himself about the body of Christ. He got over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he began to tell us. And so what happened when man's wisdom come along and come in place, they began to set up their own doctrines, how the church should be, what the body of Christ should be. But then they become their own gods. And when they become their own gods, then people, you don't see those supernatural results. We're teaching supernatural here. God, the supernatural should be as natural to us as breathing. We should see signs. We should see wonders. We should see miracles operating in your everyday life. We're in the body of Christ. That's who we are. We are supernatural beings. The church is a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God. And so since we are, then we should be operating the way Jesus gave us an example how we should be operating in this kingdom. Those fivefold ministry gifts should be perfecting us and teaching us how we should operate in the kingdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look over here. And as I say, if you're listening to the Spirit of God, listen to the Holy Spirit, then as he ministered to you, you would begin to see some things and begin to act on those things which he reveals unto you. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, and again, he did not just jump out and begin to teach the word of God. He went out in that Arabian desert. He stayed out there for 14 years. And he said, these things that I'm bringing to you was not taught to me by man. And so that means that I'm not using man's doctrine. He had a man's doctrine. He had been taught by the best teachers and the philosophers off his time. But he said what he found out, he said he counted all as dung for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And so he went out in the Arabian desert, and then he came back, and then he began to teach. He began to teach that Corinthian church. And he said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, I didn't come here, you know, with rhymes and poems telling you about who God is. That's excellent. I wasn't a great orator. But he said, but see, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the only thing that he wanted to know, that when Jesus Christ was crucified, that everything that we who in the body of Christ needs to operate in this kingdom has been taken care of, everything. And so he took it. He took every sin that I had ever committed. He took it on the cross with him. He took every sickness and disease that could possibly come on my body. He took care of that for me. All my lack, all my insufficiencies, he took care of all those for me on the cross. And so only thing I have to do is believe and receive that which he provided for me on the cross. That's what the Apostle Paul said. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Then he gets into about what your speech, which many of us do when we begin to teach and preach. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, verse 4, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and of power. See, and so what he was doing, he was building up on the foundation of the way Jesus began to teach. Over in Acts 1, it say, and he wrote O Theophilus a letter. He said, I'm bringing to you all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And so Jesus was teaching about the kingdom. The kingdom is not just in word, but it's in power and in demonstration of the Spirit that we can see, that we can see things manifested in the realm, supernatural things taking effect in our life. He said, verse 4 again, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We should know, you know, first Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to our own understanding. When we try to interpret scriptures, we should not try to interpret scripture from our own understanding. It's a, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So he's going to show us what the scripture is saying to us when we trust in the Lord. We're not going to have to worry about trying to do it ourselves. He says, he goes on to say, he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, not all the princes of this world that come to naught. So we try to get understand God through what man is teaching us. That wisdom itself comes to nothing. It comes to naught. And so, we do not get the manifestation of the things of God because we are trying to teach God wisdom through our understanding, through our own understanding. He said that comes to naught. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before us for the world unto our glory. He said this wisdom that he's teaching now, God ordained it before the world began. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that Jesus had to come into the world to bring us back to reconcile us back to him so we can have these supernatural effects happening in our lives. He knew already. God said, I ordained that Jesus come, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He already knew that. So he knew he had to send Jesus. That's the message that the Apostle Paul came back ministering to the Corinthian church. that we should operate in a supernatural kingdom. There is a natural kingdom and there is a spiritual kingdom. We who are in the body of Christ is in a spiritual kingdom, and we should be operating supernaturally in that kingdom. But the only way we can operate supernaturally in that kingdom, we have to do like Jesus did when he came up out of that water, when he got baptized. Over in Luke, it says that Jesus, when he came up, he became to came to John the Baptist. He came to him and he was supposed to be baptized. John the Baptist said, well, I need to be baptized of you. Now, Jesus looked at him and he said, no, you need to baptize me, that all righteousness must be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And so he baptized him. And when he baptized him, it said he came up out of the water. And when he came up out of those waters, it said the heavens was open. That's a supernatural event. It said, and he heard a voice from heaven. He said, the Spirit of God lit up on him like a dove. That was the Holy Spirit. It's coming up on him. And when the Holy Spirit came up on him, then he was begin to hear a voice. He heard a voice from heaven. And it said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to do ministry here in the earth realm. He had to get that power from heaven. He had to get his authority from heaven. And so when he got his authority and his power from heaven, it says, the word of God tells us in Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so he says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and he was led of the Spirit to be out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so when he was led of the devil to be tempted of wilderness, to be tempted of the devil, the way Jesus defeated him by quoting the word of God, quoting what was written. And he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So he showed us the way we do it. So, but if we're not being taught the word of God the way it should, it has to be taught by these fivefold ministry gifts. It has to be taught by the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, teachers, pastors, and have to be imparted to you so we can become mature in the things of God, so we can operate in the kingdom in the way of God. And so then if we hear it enough, then we can have faith for it. And when we have faith for it, then we can begin to do it. He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians here, chapter 2, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God, 2:7. It said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So Jesus had been prophesied through the prophets that this was going to happen to him. And that when he do, then he was going to take away the sins of all of his people. And then he's going to bring in many into this kingdom. And so had the princes of the world, or enemies of the world, known that he was going to happen, then Jesus would not have been crucified. This was a mystery to them. But the Apostle Paul understood what the Spirit of God was saying unto him. Let me give you some more pointers. Because each teacher thinks he or she is right. And so because they think they're right, they're asking why we get so many various denominations. That's why we get so many doctrines in the church. There are denominations put their doctrine before the word of God. They figure that if they put a doctrine or laws or rules in place, then you should follow the laws and rules before you follow the word of God. That's why they can tell you the baptism of the Holy Ghost was only for the apostles back in the day of Pentecost, when the first apostles got filled with the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, and you know, he told them all, he gave us an example, and he said, behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24 and 49, he said, stay there. He said, stay there, don't leave now, because you're going to need the same power in order to do the works that I do. We couldn't do the works that Jesus do unless we had the same characteristics, had the same thing on us that Jesus had on him. So otherwise, if we did not do it the way Jesus did, then when he got over into John 14, then he'd have been given us a statement that we could not form. He told us that we who believeth in him, the works that he do, shall we do also, and greater works, because he go unto his Father. And what he was telling us is that when he go unto his Father, he was going to send us another helper. He was going to send us the Spirit of Truth back to us. That Spirit of Truth is going to tell us things that he's first of all, turn to John. Let's see that now. I can turn back over here. John chapter 16. So again, they set up their own doctrine. They say what they want to say. Here in John chapter, let's turn back over. Look at 14. That's what I was telling you earlier. And he showed us how he do the works that he do, how he do these supernatural functions, how he everything that he did on the earth, how he taught. Here in John chapter 14, looking at verse 10. He gives us a snapshot of how he was doing the work that he did. In verse 10, John chapter 14, looking at verse 10, he say, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So what he's saying, he said, I don't say anything of myself. Everything I say, everything that I do, I give you an example of who the Father is, or what the Father would say unto you. He goes on to say, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So if you can't believe me because I say it, believe me because of the works I do. Believe me because you see supernatural signs and wonders in manifestation. He said, I'm not doing these works myself, but it's the Father that's in me that's doing the works. We know that we have Jesus in us. And if Jesus is in us, then the Father is in Jesus. So the works that's why he could make that statement. The next verse, he said, verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He's saying that I have to go to my Father, but when I go, I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you another comforter. And the same thing that he did with me, or worked with me with, he's going to do the same thing with you. He say, believe me that the Father is in me, and since the Father's in me, the Father's also in you, because Jesus is in you also. He gets on down. He starts talking about this comforter, the one he's going to send us to help, who's going to help us to operate in this spiritual kingdom the way he set it up. If we don't do it that way, we're just going through motions. We're just going to church on a Sunday morning, going home to fulfill an obligation or fulfill a duty. Jesus in 1 John 3:8 say, I was manifested in the earth to destroy the works of the devil. And anytime we see what Jesus began to do and to teach, you find out that he, everywhere he went, he was destroying the works of the devil. He was making sure that the kingdom of heaven was being manifested or being demonstrated in the earth realm. That's what we should be doing. That's who we are. And everywhere we go, we should be doing that. Here in, let's turn over to 16. I got that part. He said, because I go to my Father. Verse 13. Let me read verse 13. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He goes on to say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So basically, what I'm saying is, if you love Jesus, he said, you're going to keep his commandments. And when he told them to go in Jerusalem, when he said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem, he didn't just ask them to tarry. He commanded them to tarry there in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. That's the only way they was going to do the works that Jesus did, because they had to be endued with that power. We get over here in John chapter 16 and verse 12. I read at verse 12, start at verse 12. Verse 12, John 16, 12. Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he was beginning to tell them. In verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why could not they bear them now? Because they had not went to that place, that upper room, where he told them to tarry. He had told them, before he left, he was still in the earth realm. He was still in the natural. They had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So he said, I got many, many things to say unto you. He said, but you can't bear them yet. He said, there's something that have to happen to you before you can receive, or those things can be revealed to you, what I am saying unto you. He goes on to say it. He said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, he called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And since he the Spirit of truth, John 8:32 tells us that the truth shall make us free. So if the Holy Spirit comes and reveals to us, then whatever he tells us, we're going to be free from that situation. We're going to be led by the Spirit. And so he's going to help us to be free. He goes on to say, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, just like Jesus said. Jesus said, I ain't saying nothing about myself. I ain't saying what coming out for me, like we do many times in the body of Christ. We speak because it sounds good. I saw some wisdom, and we begin to say what we think is right rather than what the Spirit of God is telling us to say. And so many times that's what's happening in the body of Christ. So again, we're not seeing those manifested supernatural functions happening in our lives. He said he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Just like Jesus. Jesus said, I only speak what I hear from my Father. That's who the Father is. Holy Spirit say, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is not going to say anything of his own self. He's going to take what he hear from the Father, and he's going to show it to you. So when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, it's coming directly from God to you and to your spirit. He's revealing that to you. Jesus said here, he goes on to say, this is Jesus speaking. He said, he will show you things to come. He said, whatsoever, 13, he said, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That means that he's going to reveal some things to you. He's going to show you your direction that you need to go. That's why the word of God, again, tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we are sons of God, then we can operate supernaturally in this kingdom. These natural things, natural obstacles that come in our way, God going to show us ways around those obstacles so we can get to our destiny. He goes on to say, he shall glorify me. Jesus said, when a Spirit of truth has come, he going to glorify Jesus. He going to tell us what Jesus did for us. He going to tell us what has already been provided us through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He going to show him what he provided for us, how he took away all my sins and all my sickness. He goes on to say, He said, all things that the Father hath are mine. He said, everything that God hath is mine. That's what Jesus said. Everything that the Father has, it belongs to Jesus. And so, and since he's in us, all things that the Father has belongs to me. I have to know that. I have to understand that. It has to be revealed to my spirit, has to be revealed to my soul. And so we can operate, so we can manifest the kingdom of God here on the earth. Jesus understood that. He knew that. He said everything. He came here. He gave us an example. He was the example how we should walk this Christian life here in the earth realm. And so, because he said he came as a man, he didn't come as a God, he came as a man. So if he could do it as a man, he became our example how we should do it. And then we should take his pattern and do it the same way that he did it, and expect the supernatural to operate in our lives. He says, verse 15, he said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and he shall show it unto you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. So if you're going to take, if you take the scriptures and you allow the Holy Spirit to interpret the scriptures to you, to us, then we're going to know exactly what God is saying to us. Some more pointers here is as Paul said to the Corinthian teachers in the body of Christ. And when the teachers disagree, there is a division among us. And I showed you in Ephesians 4:7-7, that there is one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Because they begin to assert, here's our case of doctrine and theology, and build a case to prove his or her to prove his or her case, or disprove someone else's case. And so what we do in the body of Christ, and that's why we have so many various denominations. The teachers come in, they find out what their doctrine is, interpret their own doctrine. And then when they interpret it, they interpret it in man's wisdom without the help of the Holy Spirit. And then we begin to get various doctrines in the church. Either they're trying to prove their own doctrine, or they're trying to disprove someone else's doctrine instead of listening to the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God, since he's the inspirer of all scriptures, then we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what that scripture is saying to us. What then is the role of the teacher? They must be willing to pursue a supernatural lifestyle. The teachers must be willing to pursue a supernatural lifestyle. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, looking at verse 23. And since he's our example, then we should do the way he did it. In Matthew chapter 4, looking at verse 23, it said, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. That's supernatural. That was a supernatural function. Again, he was our example. And so what he did, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news about what was going to happen in the kingdom, and healing all. So that means that there was none that was left out. It's all manner of disease. So that's why he could make that statement in Mark, that all things are possible with God. Everything, anything that come against you, any sickness that come against us, God says is possible with God. But what you have to do is find someone who's going to believe what he says and act on what he says and get it to manifest in the earth realm. So he's saying, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. So everything, so that we must pursue a supernatural lifestyle. They will need to increase their courage to risk failure. This is the teacher. They must need to increase their courage to risk failure and live a life that is unable to answer all the questions of the world. God has left it in our hands. Jesus left it back here for us to do the work that he did while he was here. He gave us an example in the Old Testament, how they would operate, how God can appoint individuals to operate from the anointing or from the power that is on someone, that got graces that God has put in someone else's life. In Numbers chapter 11, over in Numbers chapter 11, looking at verse 16. This is an Old Testament example of how God operates, how Jesus understood how God operates and how he knew he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to operate in this kingdom government. It says in 11:16, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, he said, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And God said, verse 17, he said, God said, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon you. That's why when we talk about impartation, we talk about graces, we talk about gifts. One of the way God does what he does through, say, the apostolic government, he takes what's up on the teacher, takes up what's up on the pastor or the apostle, and he imparts that. God is a supernatural function that takes place. But we have to know that it is a supernatural function. He said, and God says here, he said, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it up on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So when Jesus said he got the Holy Spirit said, Jesus said, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to do the same thing to you. Just like God did in the Old Testament. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, looking at verse 1. And so when Jesus was here before the Holy Spirit came, he did the exact same thing to his disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are learned ones. They take it and they learn exactly what the person who's teaching them know. So here's there in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. That's how we should be operating in the kingdom. This was even before the Spirit of God came to them. What God did is just like he did Moses, he took the spirit that was up on him and he put it on those 70 elders so they could bear the burden of the people. Same thing that Jesus did here to those disciples, the ones who are learning. So we have more understanding. We have more revelation that had come into the body of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit himself to help us, to reveal to us the things of the kingdom of God. And so since we have that, we should, the works that we should, that's why Jesus could make the statement, works that I do shall you do, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. He took the spirit that was on him, and he called them together. He gave them power and authority, not just power. He gave them authority. They got the authority to do the kingdom work by destroying the works of the devil. We have that same authority in us, because God has given us that same authority and that same ability to do the works of the kingdom. I have much more instructions. I'm going to show you some examples. The word of God, again, in Romans 10:17 says, so then faith coming by hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing the word of God. We're going to see throughout scripture how Jesus did supernatural acts. And in his ministry, turn to Luke chapter 4, looking at verse 18. And this is going to be our meditation scripture for this particular class. I got to give you one so you can have something to meditate to our next class. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus. He found out what his ministry was and what his ministry was about. And he began to do ministry here on the earth. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:18 should be your meditation scripture for this class. And everybody who knew Jesus knew why he was sent. In Acts 10:38, after the new dispensation that came in, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him in Acts 10:38. And so that's who we should be in the body of Christ. That's why everybody, everywhere we go, they should know who we are. The word should go out. You know, manifestation is taking place in the body of Christ. Their words, God is doing supernatural acts. He's doing supernatural manifestations in the body of Christ. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that what you told me, I've told to your people. And I thank you, Father, that they no longer just be hearers of your word, but they become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.